Hey, Illinois, my name is Billy Willis.
And I'm Katie Willis, and we are your new Youth Alive missionaries for the state of Illinois.
Before stepping into this role, we served as youth pastors in Moline for 12 and a half years, and we're excited for what God wants to do in students' lives across our state.
And if you're unfamiliar with what Youth Alive is, we are excited to tell you.
Youth Alive is the initiative launched by the Assembly of God to reach arguably the greatest mission field on the planet, the 56 million public school students across our nation.
And we are here to partner with churches like yours to help you engage the schools in your communities.
And we want to help inspire, equip, and champion students to reach their campus with the gospel.
Our strategy will include three primary initiatives. First, we will launch a prayer initiative.
As we travel across the state, speaking at churches and youth groups, we want to bring awareness to the importance of reaching the public school campus, and we want to inspire believers of all ages to pray for the mission field inside our public schools. It's our conviction that every school across our state gets prayed for regularly, individually and corporately.
Secondly, we will raise up campus missionaries.
Campus missionaries are students who go to school every day with a God-given sense of mission and purpose that God's called them to their school to reach people with the hope and the love of Jesus. We want to commission thousands of students from across our state who will view their school campus as more than a place to get an education, more than a social club, more than a holding cell to adulthood, but as their mission field in which God has called them there to reach their classmates and their teachers with the gospel.
Thirdly, we will bring school assemblies and citywide outreaches to communities throughout Illinois.
School assemblies provide churches with a unique opportunity to partner with their schools by tackling many of the difficult social issues that students today deal with on a regular basis. Issues like bullying, drug usage, poverty, depression, and growing up in broken homes. We want to bring a message that'll champion teachers and inspire students to become dreamers and achievers in the face of their adversities.
And then we want to invite them to an off-campus event where the gospel is presented and students are given the opportunity to enter a life-changing relationship with Jesus. We are excited to officially launch Youth Alive in Illinois, but we need your help.
We're looking for churches and people like you who will partner with us to help us reach every student in every school in Illinois.
We would love to connect with you after service about how you can be a part of what God wants to do in the next generation.
Well, good morning, Peace Chapel. So good to be with you this morning. My name is Billy, and I'm here with my incredible wife, Katie, and we are your Youth Alive missionaries. Man, I want to give your pastor a shout out. I had a chance to meet with him not too far away from here at the Tasty Cafe in Bolingbrook, and got to hear his story back in December, and was excited to hear of the potential for you guys to bring us on as one of your newest missionaries. Left that meeting feeling really good, and then just a couple months ago, got the phone call, and it's official. We're one of your missionaries, so thank you, Pastor Spencer, for allowing us to be one of yours. Of course, I've had a great relationship with Pastor Jackie and your entire church ever since Pastor Bob was here, came here several years ago and did a potluck on a Wednesday night. Got to meet Lenny, who said that he was here that night. I'm sure many of you guys were there as well. But man, I'm excited to be here because in the last 2 years, the last 3.5 years, God has done some really incredible things. And I want to just share some of those things in just a moment. But I'm here representing the nearly 2 million students across Illinois alone. Many of those students across our state go to school every day hurting, broken, lonely, lost, struggling with anxiety, depression. Many of them are ready to give up on the gift of life. Many of them question truth, identity. Many of them are swimming in guilt, sin, and shame. And as tragic as all of those things are, the most tragic thing happening today is there's teenagers that go to school every day, and many of them have never heard a clear presentation of the hope-giving message of the gospel, that God created us in his image. He loves us, cares for us, but sin has divided us from God. Jesus came to die on the cross, taking our sin, our shame, our punishment, and our guilt upon himself, so that through faith we can make a decision to accept that free gift of salvation and be saved. Many students don't understand the full scope of the gospel message. And we want to change that. As Youth Alive missionaries, we want to make it really hard for teenagers in Illinois to make it to graduation without first having an opportunity to hear and respond to the hope-giving message of the gospel. For the last 3.5 years, Katie and I have sounded the drum for teenagers that they don't have to wait till they graduate high school, go to college, and get a job before God can use them to do something significant and meaningful with their life, that they could be missionaries on their school campus, and that as teenagers they could plant churches on the mission field of the school campus in the form of clubs, a place where students can come and hear about the love of Jesus. Well, 2.5 years ago, Katie and I had about a 5 to 10 minute window at Momentum Youth Convention, the biggest Illinois Student Ministries event that we have in Illinois. And we shared for just a few moments that idea. And there was a young woman in a crowd of about 2,500 teenagers. Her name is Roseanne. And Roseanne sat there, and it was like the Spirit of God began to knock on her heart, and the conversation went something like this. Roseanne, there's kids in your school that go there every day, hurting, broken, lonely, lost, swimming in guilt, sin, and shame. And they've never heard about Jesus. And I'm calling you to change that. I'm calling you to be a missionary to Hickory Creek Middle School. And I'm calling you to start a club so that kids in your school can hear about Jesus. And Roseanne, as a 14-year-old kid, did what most of us do when we feel God stirring something inside of our hearts. She questioned. She wondered, God, is that really you? Did I eat the wrong thing? Did I sleep on the wrong side of the bed? Am I crazy? Is that really you? She went home from Momentum, and then within a matter of days, God visits Roseanne in a dream. Roseanne, I'm calling you to be a light shining in a dark place. I'm calling you to start a club on your school campus as a missionary to your school so that kids can hear about Jesus. In that dream, she has a conversation with a teacher, a real teacher at her school. She wakes up the next day. She's convinced God is speaking to her. So she goes to school the next day. She finds the teacher that was in her dream. That teacher tells her that she needs to talk to another teacher whose name is Mr. Rodig. Mr. Rodig was a teacher, a born-again believer at Hickory Creek Middle School. And he had been praying, God, would you open a door for the gospel to go forth? Would you open a door so that kids in this school can hear about Jesus? He prayed that for several years, and then one day along came this young 14-year-old girl named Roseanne, and she says, Mr. Rodig, God spoke to me at Momentum Youth Convention. God spoke to me in a dream. I'm called to be a missionary to this junior high school, and I want to start a club so that kids can hear about Jesus. In that moment, he realized that Roseanne was the answer to his prayer. So together, Mr. Rodig and Roseanne approached the administration about starting a Christian club on the school campus. The school administration wasn't fond of the idea. They gave them a laundry list of things to do. They put obstacles in their way. They objected to Roseanne and to this dream that God had given her. Lawyers got involved. We're not really sure if the school was just being extra careful or if they were hoping that Roseanne, like most 14-year-old girls or most Christians do, it'd stop in the face of a little bit of opposition with a few obstacles. But she didn't give up. For 7 months, Roseanne persevered as a 14-year-old girl in the face of opposition. When that school knew that she wasn't going to be turned away, Roseanne was finally approved, and she launched the very first Youth Alive Club in the state of Illinois on March 2nd of 2022. Incredible story. Roseanne thought she was just answering a prayer of her teacher. What she didn't realize was that she was answering a prayer that Katie and I had been praying. We were looking for students that would take this idea and be forerunners, that they would provide a spark that would ignite a movement across an entire state. As we've shared her story all across Illinois and in other states at youth camps and youth conventions and other places, young people of all ages are beginning to come alive to the idea that if God could use a 14-year-old girl in the Chicagoland area to start a movement on her school campus so that kids can hear about Jesus, then maybe God could use them too. Over the last 2.5 years, Katie and I have, since that moment, we have shared her story, and young people are coming awakened to this idea. In the last 2.5 years, Katie and I have spoken to probably close to 10,000 teenagers
We have trained teenagers on how to share the gospel. We've worked with churches and youth groups to successfully launch over 50 movements across Illinois on school campuses, homeschool co-ops, or sports teams where students are being missionaries to their peers, missionaries to their families, missionaries to the lost. At school or wherever they go, God is, they're answering the call to be missionaries wherever they go. Just recently, these are just a few of the faces of students that we've worked with that are currently doing things. Next picture is a club, the most recent club that launched 3 weeks ago in Pittsfield, Illinois. This young, spearheaded by four young men, specifically a young man named Zeke Castleberry. His dad just took the church in Pittsfield. His dad's been a pastor in the state for a long time, but just took over the church in Pittsfield. He is on fire. He's calling me, texting me about all the exciting things that God is doing. They launched 3 weeks ago with 30-something students. He texted me and called me just the other day. He said, we've had over 50 students come to our Youth Alive Club. We're hearing testimonies of students that are leading their teachers to the Lord. We're hearing testimonies of God doing incredible things. And all of that is made possible because of churches like yours to give faithfully to missionaries like Katie and me. I love what Pastor Spencer said just moments ago. We're all missionaries. We're all called to be missionaries. God's called each and every one of us to be missionaries to a specific group of people. And I want to talk about that with you in just a moment. But before I do, I want to make you aware of a few resources we have at our table downstairs in the back, close to the donuts. First and foremost, we have a prayer card. This is a beautiful picture of Katie and me. Yes, I've shaved my beard, and I've done my hair differently, but that is us. We just want to be remembered. We want you to remember to pray for us, so you can throw this up behind a magnet on your fridge, or this makes a great Bible bookmark. So if you're OCD like me and you like straight lines in your Bible, this makes a great straight edge for underlines in your Bible. And as you're making underlines, you can remember to pray for your missionaries and the movement of God across schools in our state. Then we also have this resource. This is called the Alive in Five. This is basically a simple way to share the gospel. It's created and specifically for teenagers, but really there's nothing specific in there that's specific to teenagers. We just created it with them in mind. But this could be used as a resource for people of all ages to share the gospel. Familiarize yourself with the gospel message. You and I are called to be ready in season and out of season to give a reason for the hope that we have. And this is a great way to memorize the gospel using five simple icons. That's a free resource in the back. We also have this. This is called My Five Friend Focus. We just believe that God has strategically placed you in somebody else's life so that you could share the gospel with them. But it starts with prayer. And so we created a five friend focus. You can put family, friends, neighbors, strangers, people's names on there. I guess you wouldn't put a stranger's name on there. We just believe God's going to do it. It's going to start with prayer. We pray for people, we care for them in practical ways, and we open our mouths and we share the gospel with them. And it starts by praying that God would give us a burden for lost souls, opportunities to share the gospel, and a boldness to do what God has called us to do. I think every single Christian should have a list of no less than five people that they feel called to pray for every day and seek and to save the lost. And so we have that available as the back with some practical tips on the backside of how to win people to Jesus. And then all those resources are free, but we do have this book called God So Loved. This is a student's guide to sharing the gospel at school or wherever they're at. Across the school campus, there's different people groups. There's the automotive students, the kids that love mechanics like Alyssa. There's the theater student. There's the athlete. There's the atheist. There's the agnostic. There's the LGBTQ student. There's students of all different shapes and sizes and backgrounds and interests. And God loves every one of them, and he wants to reach them. And so we got together with a group of Youth Alive missionaries, and we wrote a book to help students, give them practical ideas to reach those different people groups. And there's a chapter committed to 3 dozen different people groups that are in the setting of a school. Everything else is free, but we just ask for a $10 donation for this. Or if you'd like to pay it forward and allow us to donate to give them away at youth groups in the future, you can also do that. Or if you'd like a copy, we have those available in the back. So let's pray. I've got a quick word I want to share this morning. God, thank you so much. We come to you with open hearts and open minds to hear what you have to say to us. Father, this morning, would you help us and awaken our hearts to what really matters? God, to make the most of this life that you've given us, God, help us to be awakened to the mission field that you have called us to our communities, to our family, our friends, our coworkers, our classmates. And would you help me today to be an instrument to speak clearly and with conviction exactly what you want me to say today and what you want us to hear? We pray that in Jesus' name. Give us responsive hearts. Amen. The title of the message this morning is 72.5. That's probably the most relevant number to all of us, and we didn't even know it. If you go to Google or your favorite search engine and you type in the words average life expectancy, you'll find that average life expectancy is right around 72 and a half years. I'm not saying it, so don't throw anything at me. I'm just telling you what average life expectancy, what the experts say. Now, if you are nearing that, or if you've surpassed that, we're living on borrowed time. And God's, as long as we have breath in our lungs, God's not done with us yet. We're not to succumb to what is average, but for the sake of illustration, for the sake of perspective today, average life expectancy is 72.5. Now, to help me demonstrate this, I brought some money I want to give away today. And I think I've got a good candidate to give some money away from. Savannah, would you like some money? Okay, a little hesitation. I get it. Come on up here, Savannah. Come on up here. Give it up for her like she's coming up here for the Price is Right. All right, Savannah, I've got some money I'm going to give you. Does that sound good? Okay, I get it. A little hesitation. Now, before I give these $1 bills to you, you and I have to have an agreement that I can do with them whatever I want before I give them to you. Sound good? Okay, less hesitation. I like it. All right, so Savannah, I need you to hold these five $1 bills up for everybody to see. And if they flop over, just push them back up there. That's, man, you're already doing it. That's a good job. Now, are your parents in here? Papa and Mama. Everybody say, hey, Papa and Mama, right over here. All right. Savannah, average life expectancy is 72.5. It's kind of like this. When you and I are born, God hands us five $1 bills. Each $1 bill represents roughly 14 and a half years of a person's life. Savannah, how old are you?
13.
How would you like to be 14 and a half today? That sounds good. When's your 14th birthday?
June 8th.
So you're practically 14. All right, but today you're 14 and a half. This dollar bill right here represents the life of a teenager exiting eighth grade, going into ninth grade. This represents the life of a 14 and a half year old student. That dollar bill right there represents your life, the life that you've lived, Savannah. You've already lived 1/5 of your life. Now, the tragedy is that sometimes we allow something that happened in our past to rob us of what we have left. And she has a lot left to give, right? Now, Savannah, how old do you think I am? Hold on. I see the wheels turning in your mind. I'm going to make this easy on you. I think you're awesome. We met a long time ago at youth camp or Momentum, and we kind of built a friendship, and I'm giving you money today, and you like me, and I like you. And so I want to keep it that way, so I want you to answer nicely, honestly, but I also want you to answer nicely. How old do you think I am?
Probably in your 20s.
Honestly or nicely?
Nicely.
Honestly.
Like in your late 20s.
Late 20s? Okay, I like it. Honest?
Honest.
Let's go. Okay. You really try to be nice. So Savannah, not in my late 20s, not in my early 30s. Savannah, I am next month. I crossed the threshold, And next month, Savannah, I will be 40 years old. I'm 39 today. So thank you. I appreciate that. So I work with teenagers. I do try to stay young. 72 and a half, 39, almost 40. 72 and a half, 39, almost 40. That would be 29 years. That's what I wish I was. But unfortunately, I've actually just surpassed the halfway mark. Oh, man, that hurts. I've already lived more than half of my life. Savannah, go ahead and pick those up for me, will you? I've already lived more than half my life. How many dollar bills have you spent? How much do you have left? No matter how much you have left, as long as you have breath in your lungs, God's not finished with you yet. Amen? Amen. He's got a mission, a calling, and a purpose for each of our lives. Now, if you're younger, you got more time. And if you're older, that means we got less time. But reality is, we don't have a lot of time. So, Savannah, here's what I need you to do. I'm going to give you those four $1 bills. Give me that half dollar bill. Okay. Now, here's what I want you to do. Spend those any way you want. They don't go as long as they used to, but with these two half-dollar bills, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write the word 72.5, and I want you to remind yourself every day. I want you to put it somewhere that you can see it every day, maybe in a purse or in a clear phone case or on a mirror somewhere, and I want you to remind yourself every day, life is short. I've got to make it count because I won't live forever. Someday I'm going to blink. I'm going to be 40 years old. No, I'm serious. So give the other half dollar bill to somebody and tell them about this morning's message. I think they have it, they're recording it, so maybe you can give that recording to somebody. Thank you, Savannah. Give it up for Savannah one more time. Psalm 90, verse 12 says this: teach me to number my days, that I may gain a heart of wisdom. Another translation says it like this: Lord, show me just how short life is, that I may gain perspective. Something happens at in our lives when we begin to look at our lives through five $1 bills. We begin to gain perspective. A few perspectives I want to share briefly with you this morning. Three perspectives. Number one is this: life is short. Life is short. Man, James 4:14 summarizes it so perfectly. What does James 4:14 says? What is your life like? You're like a mist that appears for a moment and then vanishes. What is your life like? You're like a mist that appears for a moment. Man, as we read God's word, God is trying to get our attention and help us understand this life is short. This life isn't for forever. This life is not all there is. There is a life beyond this life that God wants to awaken us to and turn our attention to. He wants us to live with an eternal perspective because life is short. Listen to what Randy Alcorn, a Christian author on the subject, has to say. He says, as human beings, we have a terminal disease called mortality. The current death rate is 100% unless Jesus returns soon. We're all going to die. We don't like to think about death yet. Worldwide, 3 people die every second. 180 people die every minute. 11,000 people die every hour. He goes on to say this: if the Bible is right about what happens after death, it means that more than 250,000 people every day will either go to heaven or hell. Everybody spends somewhere forever. This life isn't all there is. Eternity is forever. Every person, all of us, every person we know will spend all of eternity in a place called hell or a place called heaven. Our life is short. Number two, life is a gift. This life is a gift, isn't it? You know, here's the beauty about this life that God has given us. He's given us another gift called a free will. And you get to live your life any way you want. God doesn't control you like a robot. He doesn't dictate to you what to do, what to say. He doesn't force his will or his way upon you. You get to live your life any way you want. But you know what? We can either spend this life or we can invest it. We can either just live our life and become 40 or 50 or 60 years old and look back at our lives and wonder, what do we have to show for it? We can get to the end of our lives and have a funeral someday and either have people say really nice things about us or make up really nice things to say about us. This life is a gift. It's been said this life is God's gift to us, and what we do with it is our gift back to God. We can live our life any way we want, but God, all throughout his word, he's trying to give us a heads up. Yeah, you can live your life the way you want, but he's the giver of the life. And at the end of this life, we'll all stand before God. Hebrews 9:27 says it like this. It's appointed for a person to die one time, but after this comes judgment. We'll stand before a holy, righteous God and give an account for our lives. If we sow into this life, we'll reap destruction. But if we sow into eternal life, we'll gain life. Life is short. Life is a gift. And number three, life echoes. After we pass out of this life, you and I are going to be remembered or forgotten based on how we live. Philippians 1:10 says this. Paul says, I want you to understand what really matters. I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives. In other words, lives that truly matter until the day that Jesus returns. Church, we only get this life one time. We'll never get it back. Every moment, every day is a sacred moment, sacred day. We'll never get this past week back. Well, not once we live this next week, we'll never get it back. We have opportunities this week we'll never have again. But they'll echo for all of eternity. I love the story of a Philip of Macedon, father of Alexander the Great. He was one of the most esteemed generals in ancient history, Philip of Macedon. Many of us have never heard of Philip of Macedon. We know more about Alexander the Great. But Philip of Macedon, being rich, wealthy, revered, and feared, had a servant that would stand before him each day, and he would remind Philip with these words, Philip, you're going to die. Each day, or on a regular basis, Philip wanted his servant to remind him the words, Philip, you're going to die. Philip, you're going to die. Philip, you're going to die. Philip, someday you're going to die. You're not going to live for forever. So make the most of this life. But for Philip, making the most of his life meant conquering more kingdoms, accumulating more wealth for himself, trying to build his reputation, build his kingdom, make his name famous, so that after he died, he'd have something to pass on and he'd have something to be said about him after he died, about how he was great. But yet today, many of us don't even know who he is. He wanted to remind himself, life is short, life is a gift, and life echoes, because he wanted to build his kingdom, his reputation, his fame. He wanted to be known. You and I, why do we talk about this today? Because as believers in the gospel, we're not trying to build our kingdom. We're not trying to build our fame. We're not trying to build our life. We're trying to build a kingdom that will last for forever. We're trying to make a name known, the greatest name, the name of Jesus known, so that people could be saved. Life is short, life is a gift, and life echoes. We remind ourselves of those truths because you and I got to live for what really matters, so that we could pursue eternal treasures and build a kingdom that would last forever. I think that's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:19 and 20, he says, don't store up treasures on earth where moths eat, rust destroys, and thieves can break in and steal. Think about it. All the things that we do for ourselves are subject to rust, decay, and theft. He says this, don't store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. Church, so in the light of eternity, what really matters? Just two things. Just two things really matter. Two things. Two things to be the filter for our existence. Because we want to live our lives for things that truly matter. And there's only two things when you clear everything else out. Just two things really matter. Before I share those two things with you, let's just remind ourselves what doesn't matter. All the treasures and accomplishments that this world esteems won't matter. The fancy car, the dream house, the promotions at work, the academic and athletic scholarships our students pursue many times in sacrifice of their own spirituality won't matter. None of those things will matter. Getting a little extra money to work on a Sunday so that you have to skip church and sacrifice your spiritual growth won't matter. 100 years from now, your body's going to be a corpse rotting away inside of a casket 6 feet under the turf with a tombstone over your head. And on that tombstone will have your name, the date you were born, the date you died, and between those two dates will be a little dash line to define your life. And what you do with your dash line will determine whether you live for what really matters or whether you live for things that won't matter. None of those things are going to matter 100 years from now. Only two things will matter: to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. To know Jesus and to make Jesus known. Church, that's all that really matters. To know Jesus and to make Jesus known. To make Jesus known determines where you spend eternity. To know Him personally. We're not Christians or going to heaven or going being, or we're not saved because we grew up in a Christian home. We're not Christians because we went to church any more than going to McDonald's for lunch and make us a hamburger. We're not Christians. We're not saved because we try to live really good lives. No matter how good you try to live your life, it will not remove the guilt of sin. We're stained with sin. Nothing but Jesus can remove that sin. Not the best works, not your greatest efforts. Just a personal relationship with Jesus. Knowing Jesus determines where you spend eternity. But to make Him known determines who you spend it with. To know Jesus and to make Jesus known. That's it, church. That's our mission. That's the goal of life. We get roughly 72 and a half years. We're given a gift called life. It'll echo for all of eternity. So just two things matter. Did I make it to heaven? And who made it with me? That's it. That's why we're talking about missions this week. Because missions is all about making Jesus known. We should have a few things that we're doing in regards to mission: praying, giving, and going. We're all called to pray. We're called to pray for our local mission field in the Morris community and the surrounding areas. I was amazed to hear so many different communities that your church draws from. Seneca, Manuka, I knew I was getting, we were talking about it earlier, I was like, they were telling me how to say it right. Other areas, praying for our local community, but also praying for our missionaries. Thank you for praying for missionaries. Thank you for being a missions-giving church. Giving, thank you for giving to missions. Thank you for tithing to the church so that the mission of the local church can go forward. Thank you for giving to missions. But you know what? You and I are also called to go. Somebody out there needs you. Somebody in your workplace. Somebody in your school. Somebody in your family. Somebody in your neighborhood needs you to tell them about Jesus. Somebody out there needs you to pray for them. Care for them in practical ways, showing them the love of Jesus. But somebody out there needs you to open up your mouth and share Jesus. Nobody gets saved because we were good people. Nobody gets saved because we were good neighbors. It requires a proclamation of the gospel. Go and proclaim the gospel to all the world. It's the Great Commission. Co, that word co means together. The mission is God's mission, and he calls us together with him in fulfilling it. The mission is to seek and to save that which is lost. Only two times in Scripture did Jesus make a definitive statement where he said, for the Son of Man came to, serve, and to seek and to save that which is lost. That is the mission of our Savior. That's the mission of the Church of God. That's why we exist as a church here in Morris, Illinois, to seek and to save the lost, not to come and gather as a church family and sing Kumbaya, but so that we could be missionaries to our local community and we could see people get saved and come to know Jesus. Like a lighthouse shining. Here and there. Here locally and there everywhere. Wherever that is. You might be here today and you say, man, I don't even know that I know Jesus. Can I just share the gospel with you real quick? The gospel is good news. It's good news. The good news is this: God, the God of heaven, created you. He made you. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. Scripture indicates he knew you in your mother's womb. He knew you in your mother's womb. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He's intricately and intimately acquainted with you. He loves you. He cares for you with in a way that we don't understand. He loves you. But the question is never whether God loves us. The question is always whether we love God. That's the response. Sin has separated us or divided us from God. The Bible tells us this in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. You know what a wage is? It's what you get paid for the work that you do. It's what you deserve, your wage, your salary. Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. It's what you and I deserve. You and I deserve death. Not just death here on earth, but death for all of eternity in a horrible place called hell. We're all guilty of violating God's righteous laws, his ways of perfection. We're all guilty of that. We all deserve eternity in hell. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the second part of that scripture is, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says this: God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean? God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, it means that when you wanted nothing to do with God, God still wanted everything to do with you. When you're at your worst, when you're farthest away from God, God still wants everything to do with you. Romans 10 tells us this, that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. That all who call upon Jesus will be saved. It's a free gift that God offers each and every one of us. His desire, his will, is that nobody would perish, that no one would go to hell, Peter tells us. Some people wonder, if God's so loving and good, why does he allow people to go to hell? Well, he allows people to go to hell because he's given us a free will. And if we don't want anything to do with God here and now on this side of eternity, he doesn't force us to spend all of eternity with him in heaven. See, the best part of heaven isn't that you didn't go to hell. The best part of heaven isn't that there's no more sin, sickness, shame, death. That's not the best part of heaven. The best part of heaven, as good as it is, isn't that there's eternal joy, peace, love, comfort, joy in God's presence for eternity. That's not even the best part. The best part is the presence of God for all of eternity, where the fruit of all those things are joy, love, peace, comfort for all of eternity. Those are byproducts of a relationship with God that right now we experience filtered by a world of darkness. But when we get to heaven, that we'll have all of those things, experience them for all of eternity, never faded by sin, never filtered by anything else. We'll be exposed to those things. It's what the longing of our heart desires. Man, I watch people do some crazy things in pursuit of love, in pursuit of security, in pursuit of comfort, in pursuit of what they think is going to make them happy, turning away from God, chasing everything else. Heaven's not a boring place. I believe God's he invented fun. He invented joy. He invented happiness, comfort, security. And he promises them for those who want him for all of eternity. But if we don't want him here and now, he doesn't force us to spend eternity with him there. God makes his desire known to us, but because he's given us a free will and he didn't create any one of us to be robots, he doesn't force his will or his way on anybody. See, the beauty of my wife's love for me is that she chooses it each and every day. It'd be really cool if God wired her with a magic button that caused her to do whatever I wanted her to do it when I wanted her to do it. Wash the dishes, make me a cheese quesadilla. We'll keep it PG today, this morning at church. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. And God created that too, and it's a good thing. But you know what? I would get really empty after pushing that magic button and realizing she's not doing any of it because she's choosing to, but because she was wired to. And God didn't wire us with a magic button. See, the beauty of my wife's love for me is that she chooses me each and every day, and I choose her, and that's the beauty of love. The most powerful form of love is commitment, when you feel it and when you don't feel it. And you and I choose God. And that's the most beautiful thing to him, is that when we choose him in the face of everything else. Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Could I have the worship team go ahead and make your way up? If you're here this morning and you realize that you haven't been particularly close to God, you've been walking away from God, you've been living your own way, you've been using your free gift of a free will to live your life your way, and you don't have assurance that if you were to die today that you would go to heaven, and you want to change that this morning, I want to give you an invitation in just a moment to raise your hand on the count of three. If that's you here today, we're going to pray. We're going to put our faith and trust in Jesus, and God's going to change that this morning for you. You can walk away today having chosen Jesus. So on the count of three, if that's you here today, just slip up your hand. One, two, three. How many would you say that's me? I see that hand here. Anyone else would say that's me? How many others would say that's me? Just slip up your hand.